Well, good thing we changed the name back to the Green Zone this week, because did you hear the news, Slocker, on the Evan Bray show this morning?
I did. Apparently, it was proclaimed tomorrow is Green and White Day.
Gaynor was hanging out with the premier at the ledge today.
You know what else?
And Craig Reynolds was there, too.
Well, no. Did you know that Gaynor is an anagram for Regina?
Yes, I did, Locker. Nobody in the newsroom did. But I knew that.
I knew that because you told me.
Britton brought it up and everybody was like, what?
What?
I was like, nobody knows this? Thought it was just a football term, gained yards, Gaynor. Like, no, it's
Gaynor.
Letters of Regina, jarbled up, spell Gaynor. Anyways, green tomorrow. Green and White Day. As you heard from the premier on Evan Bray earlier this morning. Oh, there.
That close. Evan Bray, he's got his finger on the pulse, I tell you, eh?
That's what the commercials tell me. Each and every day, we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, and yes, Green and White Day tomorrow, and it's nearing a sellout at Mosaic Stadium. The Rough Rider players can't wait.
I expect chaos. I expect unorganized chaos, like it's Gotham City. I can't wait for it.
That is linebacker AJ Allen. So
I like AJ.
He's
always entertaining.
He played high school ball, or he played football as a youth with Nathan Rourke.
Oh, like, okay.
They grew up in the same area and they played with each other.
All right.
Now AJ is going to try to take his head off on Saturday with Gotham City,
as you do.
He's looking for with organized chaos. We'll get the injury report on who's available. Who's not? It looks like almost everybody's available for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Yeah, very healthy this squad. Week.
Britton Gray will bring you up to date as well. Dave Naylor is on the Green Zone today with a preview and break down what happened in Ottawa yesterday with Ryan Dinwiddie making the move from Toronto to Ottawa.
Well, I think it was at the end of the program yesterday, just before we headed out, and we were announcing less than 1,000 tickets. So if you were thinking of going, you better get on that, right? And then the 50-52, we'll make sure we mention that. At 5 o'clock, the cutoff for the early bird prize, which is that all-inclusive trip for 2 7-day to Costa Rica. So you might want to look into that as well. We'll go over to the majors. The Blue Jays have extended a qualifying offer to Bo Bichette. And if he accepts by November 18th, the offer, he will play next year for $22 million. Now, I just want to clarify something. This is just sort of a technicality so that they get something for him if he leaves, right? They have to have a qualifying offer in front of him. It doesn't mean he's going to stay. It doesn't mean that this is the final offer the Jays will offer him. It's just sort of a protective measure around the contract negotiations so that, like, if he does decide to go to Cleveland or something like that, they don't get hung out to dry on and get nothing back for him. Did I explain that properly?
Yeah.
Kind of.
It's baseball contracts. And
it's convoluted. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I just wanted to make sure. He had a really good season. He got hurt in September, rejoined the team for the World Series against the Dodgers. So it's definitely somebody they want back. But this the extended qualifying offer is a little bit more than what.
The qualifying offer is $22 million, but we'll see. I imagine he'll want more guarantees than just 1 year. Of course.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We will keep you up to date on the Jay story. Of course, last night in the National Hockey League, Ovi got 900.
Lost it there to Ovechkin. Quick relay comes to the point. Chytrin fires. Just missed. Ovechkin turns. He scores! The Great Eight is the one and only at 900.
Yes, it was one of the six goals the Washington Capitals scored last night in a 6-1 win over the St. Louis Blues. What was interesting is what happened after the 900th goal. They're celebrating, and, well, Jordan Binnington, the goaltender of the St. Louis Blues, we caught you.
Watch this. After the goal is scored, he's got the puck. Watch what he does with the puck. He's going to keep it in his pants. I don't know if he wants to sell it on the open market or not, but yeah, they're not going to get that puck from Binnington.
Yeah, well, they did, because the linesman skated back over and went, we saw you, we know you have the puck in the pants. Can we just have the puck?
But he put it in there. Like, he
picked up the puck. He took his glove off so he could wedge it.
Yeah. There's a ton of speculation on what he was doing. We'll get into that a little bit more on the show as well.
What a random thing. But Alexander Ovechkin got his 900th goal.
And
last night,
Nazem Kadri got a silver stick.
Fairby into Kadri, shoot, scores! What a way to celebrate 1,000 games!
And that's what it means. It means 1,000 games. I like it. Could they give it to the kids, too? His whole family was out there, and the kids got a little tiny little sort of replica of his stick. I heard a quick little interview with Nazem Kadri as well. He was talking about the fact that the stick is actually his pattern as well, so it's a duplicate of what he actually plays with, which he said was kind of cool. So, yeah, he's from London, Ontario. He's got 721 points in those 1,000 games. He scored one of those points last night. He was drafted by the Leafs in the first round in 2009. What was he, seven? He was in the top 10, for sure. This is his fourth year in Calgary. And I don't know if you want to weigh in on this. Is Kadri a flame at the end of this season?
I don't think he is. Is he a flame by the end of the month? We'll see where
I think
goes.
He's gone.
On that one. Oh, goody. I get to watch my team lose on Thursday Night Football.
Geno Smith has it. Fires into the end zone. Touchdown. Brock Bowers.
Knicks looking with time. Floats it alone on the sideline. Harvey will walk in for a Denver touchdown.
Yay! The 2-6 Las Vegas Raiders take on the 7-2 Denver Broncos. The Rider historian Rob Vanstone's a Broncos fan. I, of course, am a Raiders fan, and I'm too smart to be roped into making a bet with Rob Vanstone on this game, because the Broncos are going to win tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Battle of first and last.
Yeah, yeah.
The Broncos. Your team is.
Well, yeah, they're last.
Yeah.
They suck at football. They're just, anyways, almost beat Jacksonville, but sometimes they almost beat a lot of things. Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone. There was some other NFL news that broke earlier today, and that is around Cowboys defensive end Marshawn Kneeland. Marshawn Kneeland is dead at the age of 24, and the story coming out of Texas, Frisco, Texas police were involved in a chase, and they believe it was Marshawn Kneeland. His car was found crashed. He ran from the scene, and after they surrounded an area, they started getting word that he had suicidal thoughts, and then they did find his body with a single gunshot wound. And just on Monday Night Football, just 3 days ago, Monday Night Football, Marshawn Kneeland scored that touchdown on the blocked punt by the Cowboys. He was the one who jumped on it in the end zone. Very much a part of the Broncos, or the Cowboys, but extremely sad news in the National Football League for a young man.
Awful.
Today for the Dallas Cowboys. As we continue here on the Green Zone, there's a lot more coming up today. Of course, as I mentioned, Dave Naylor will be here to break down the East and the West division finals. And then, of course, the latest on what happened yesterday that led Ryan Dinwiddie to up and leave Toronto and be the GM and head coach of the Ottawa Redblacks. More with Dave Naylor just past 3 o'clock today, right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on a Thursday. Yes, just What are we, 50 hours away?
Oh, you're going to make me do math? I was told before I got this job there would be no math.
It's sports. There's usually math. You have to add 1 + 1 after a goal is scored. Maybe plus 6.
They told me we had a producer for that.
But actually, I think it's 51 hours away from kickoff the Riders and the Lions in the West Final. Under 1,000 seats left for the West Final.
It's going to sell out. Get your tickets.
I love this quote. I know we played it already. Oh, come on. AJ Allen.
I expect chaos. I expect unorganized chaos. Like it's Gotham City. I can't wait for it.
Let's go. Everybody I talked to today after a Rider practice was saying the same thing about the crowd. Like, let's make it as nasty as possible.
The other thing, too, right? It's going to be cold. It's going to be minus 6. Minus 7, minus 8, minus 10, right? You're gonna need to move around. Making noise will keep you warm.
Hammering the hands together.
Yeah.
All those things. If you wear the right gloves,
you can get good noise. Yeah.
Oh, my. Those are great noisemakers right there. The big leather ones.
Yeah. Woof, woof.
It should be a blast on
when
Saturday.
When we moved here, my wife made me invest in a cowbell. So I sit next to that all game.
Ding 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 ding.
She loves it.
My kids have cowbells too.
Yeah.
The
green ones.
Yeah. They enjoy those ones. Yeah. For sure.
They're loud.
I imagine it'll be loud in there on Saturday. Of course, coming up, James Duthie is going to... We need to ask James about what happened last night after Ovechkin's 900th goal. Jordan Binnington...
Your theory, you had the extra baseball theory, right?
Who knows? Did he give the actual puck back? Like, maybe it was like the guys in game 7. There's two gentlemen in the outfield who both got the home run ball, the tying one and the winning one. They actually had an extra baseball in their pocket, and they switched it when they threw it back on the ball back on the field.
Yeah.
You can see him. He puts the ball in his pocket, and then he moves and gets another ball and throws the fake one back on the field and kept the other one. Then they went on social media and were like, hey, we still have the balls.
Yeah.
Come on, Dodgers. You want your World Series ones? Pay us up. So maybe Jordan Binnington, 900th goal, Alexander Ovechkin, first player ever to get 900, and Binnington picks the puck out of the net and shoves it down his pants.
Do you think he was trying to be funny? Because here's the thing. Everybody has a different type of sense of humor. I know this because in my family, well, yeah, you and I are fairly simpatico on our sense of humor. I played a video the other day for my wife, and I had tears rolling down my face.
Was this the Uber video?
Yeah, with the guy that wakes up screaming.
Oh, see, I also found that hilarious.
See, you and I laughed very heartily at that, and she just looked at me and went, there's something wrong with you. So, everybody has a different sense of humor, right? That's what I think was, I think he might have been trying to be funny. That's what I think.
I think he was just being a jerk. That's what I think. So we're asking you today on the Green Zone, Jordan Binnington, should we champ him? Ha ha! What a great joke. That's funny. Or should we chump him? Do you think? Nah, that
there's
give Ovi the 900.
Should we put the video out so people can see it?
Like,
if they haven't.
When you see the ref having to go back to Jordan Binnington and go, "Come on, we know you have the puck in your pants," and he's like,
Doug digs it out, gives it back.
All right, here you go. Here's the puck. Because there's video of it.
Yeah,
the announcers are talking about it.
Linesman Michel Cormier came over and said, hey, we know you got the pop, buddy.
Good job catching that. There's cameras everywhere, guys.
Tremendous.
His eBay account would have been popping off after this game had he pulled that heist off.
Is that Army? I think that was Army. Anyway,
yeah, go watch the video. We'll put that up on our socials, Green Zone socials.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Of course, the Riders' last practice ahead of the West Final today was closed, awaiting the injury report to tell us who is available, who is out for the West Final against the BC Lions. The Toronto Blue Jays have extended a qualifying offer, as is protocol, to star infielder Bo Bichette. He has until November the 18th to accept the offer. By doing this, the Jays will get a draft pick in compensation if Bichette does not sign with the Toronto Blue Jays. And, of course, the NHL tonight, it's a busier schedule tonight. The Montreal Canadiens against the Devils, the Senators against the Bruins tonight in the National Hockey League. Coming up next on the Green Zone, we have James Duffy. His first book, Beauties, was a beauty. He's got a new one. More stories. Certified Beauties. We'll talk to James. Maybe he's got a third one coming with Jordan Binnington on why he tried to steal the puck. That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you. Welcome into the Green Zone. Of course, tomorrow, are you wearing like a weird shade of green today? Probably should.
It's like an army green, right?
Probably show.
No, I'll wear my
Locker jersey.
I'll wear my Rider. Although
you scratched the heck out of that with your face plant
from my scooter accident.
I think there's still some skin on that jersey.
I washed it. There was a lot of blood on it. Because I bled.
It came out. Well done, by the way.
Well, my my wife gave me a get blood out of your jersey tip.
And share. There might be other people who might need to get their jersey at some point in their life.
It was club soda. I used a bit of club soda.
Yep. It worked.
Yep. And then that... spraying something, OxyClean or something, whatever it is.
So green and white day tomorrow, as you heard. Scott Moe gave the tease on Evan Bray this morning as Gaynor and the Riders were at the legislature to proclaim green and white day tomorrow. So wear that green ahead of the West Final on Saturday. But we're going to talk some hockey. There's a new book. If you have me as a Christmas gift idea, the Certified Beauties would be on that list. By the way, James Duffy, the author, it is the sequel to Beauties, another book of great hockey stories. And maybe if there's a third James, it'll start with Jordan Binnington on why he stole the puck last night off Ovechkin's 900th goal. What was that last night?
That was nuts. And I still don't, I'm still trying to figure it out. Like,
yeah.
There's, you know, multiple theories. Either, you know, Jordan has sort of done this stuff before, is, you know, he loves to play the villain, and maybe that was just him playing the villain. I guess that's the most likely thing, which I don't mind because I think hockey kind of needs those kind of characters. A weird kind of situation to do it in with a milestone like that, but whatever. Theory two, I guess, is that he was kind of being funny, which I doubt, but I guess that's possible. If he was, then I applaud that because it is kind of funny. So I heard a third theory that maybe he like legitimately wanted to take the puck, So he had stuffed another puck in his pants and like switched the pucks. That would be
what you were saying, Jamie.
So he actually still owns the Ovechkin puck somewhere.
Well, like the guys at the Blue Jays game, they had a different ball for the home run ball, and they switched it out. Apparently,
right? Well, a lot of guys, like, I think a lot of those guys, this is completely off topic, that go to baseball games, you know, with gloves and sit in sections to try to catch balls, actually do that. They bring another ball in case, you know, I have to throw one back. And there's a famous clip that we play on SportsCenter all the time on top 10 lists of some little kid catching a foul ball, and there's a pretty girl sitting behind him that he gives it to, and she's all gushing, and it turns out he had a second ball. So that's like the most suavest, you know, 12-year-old nice kid in the history of the world. But I mean, I doubt very much Jordan did that. I think, like I said, it was a head shaker of a move, but also kind of entertaining in a sick way. So,
yeah. James, out of all the professional sports, is it safe to say that the NHL has the most interesting characters? You've been around sports for a long time.
I think so. I think that hockey it's a weird dynamic because, you know, from the outside, people would say, well, hockey players might be the most boring of all the athletes. And I see that in the sense of, you know, the intermission interviews that we run with Get Pucks Deep and all that crap, you know, they are extremely boring, but that's as much our fault as theirs, right?
Yeah.
Hockey players never want to say anything. It's very much the team game. But I've always had a theory, and that's kind of what I tested in the first book, that when you get away from the rink and you get away from those scrum situations and the boring day-to-day stuff, that they aren't boring and they all have stories. And I guess that was kind of ingrained in me from all the years doing the panel. And we've had countless, you know, ex-coaches and ex-players rotating through on the panel over the last 25 years or whatever, however long I've been doing it. And, you know, we have a lot of time to sit where we're watching the game, and I would hear these countless amazing stories. And I think that's kind of where the seed for the first book came from is, you know, why not put all these in a book? And I think even the most boring hockey player, if you could sit down with him for a beer, he's got a couple of great stories. And that was the other theory I had is, you know, I've read a lot of hockey biographies, which are, you know, have a couple of really good stories in them, but also, you know, wind you through the life. I was born in a small Saskatchewan town, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, why don't we cut all that out and just go for the great stories? So my theory was if, like, the three of us were sitting in a bar with whoever, Sidney Crosby, Roberto Luongo, whoever you want to name, and we could sit and we said, tell me your greatest story from career, like, that you've never told anybody publicly before. That's basically the theory for the book. And I was wonderfully shocked how free guys would be with their stories.
Huh. James Duthie, Certified Beauties. Go find it for even if you just like storytelling, you don't have to be a hockey fan. It was great because the way you put it out, you can read a chapter a day, right? Like, that's what I loved about the first book is you didn't have to sit down and it's like, oh, it's a cliffhanger to keep reading. Yeah. It's just like, hey, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to pull out. I'm going to read this beauty. And a couple of days later, pick it up, read another beauty. It's next to my bed. I still will reread Roberto Luongo's foreword of him pooping. So Sidney Crosby writes the foreword in this. Does he have a poop story too, or what?
Sidney's a little too classy for the pooping thing, although I will admit that there is one of those stories, the last chapter of the book. And it's funny, I was actually finished the book and done, ready to send it in to the publisher last spring. And I went to the Masters, and Saskatchewan's own Graham Dillette told me, you got to talk to Ray Whitney. And I said, why? He said, because he's got a story that is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And so I called Ray, and that ended up being the last chapter of the book. And without giving up too much...
It involves poop.
I don't know how to say it. He eats like 18 cabbage rolls at Christmas dinner, his grandma's cabbage rolls, and then has a game the next day, and all hell breaks loose in his pants is my most polite way of saying it. I don't want to turn off people to the book. The book is not all about things like that. But this story, the way Ray tells it, is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. But
in the first book, you're the Layla Anderson with the St. Louis Blues, like that. Like you have the, like you're almost crying when you read these stories, like some of these ones too, right?
Yeah. Well, two things. Like one, what you said about short. I kind of like to write the way I read, and I'm the same as you. I don't have a long attention span, and so if I get a 400 page book in front of me, I find it a little too daunting. And so I set out to make this, you know, bathroom reading where you could read and then put it down for a couple of weeks and use it as a coaster and then read another one when you got bored. But the other part of it is I want you to laugh but then maybe, you know, have something on the next page that could make you cry and be surprised by every different chapter. And you can't just do funny stories about Ray Whitney pooping his pants for an entire book, right? So there has to be a heart to the book. And like Layla's story in the first book, and there's a bunch of them in the second book too. I think probably the chapter that people will gravitate towards is I did a chapter on the Gaudreaus, and I wanted it, you know, there was so much sadness with that story last year. You know, every time I turned on the TV, there was a different ceremony at a different game, and it was just heart-wrenching every single time to see, you know, either Meredith or Madeline, the two widows, or Guy and Jane, the parents. And so I thought, could I write a chapter on these two that, you know, fit in with the Beauties book? That obviously there's sadness to it because we all know how it ends, but that was somewhat joyful. And so what I did was talk to the family and talk to like 20 of their former teammates and ask them to tell me Beauties type stories. Tell me a funny story about Johnny.
Awesome.
Tell me a funny story about Maddie. And so it's full of those. And I was kind of thinking in my head, I'd love something for their kids to be able to pick up someday when they're old enough and say, oh, this is what my dad was like. He was a pretty cool guy and a pretty funny guy. And but obviously there's, you know, sadness in reading it in two and listening to the family talk about losing them. But I think there's a lot of joy in that chapter, which I'm proud of.
Good for you. That's impressive that you had that sort of thought process going into it. James, I keep a list of people I'd like to have a beer with. Some of the people on that list, it's doable, and then others, it's sort of, you know, it's a wish list.
Right.
From all the interviews that you've done for this book and the past book, is there one guy that you would call up and go, I'd like to have a beer with that guy again?
Oh, I'm not kidding when I say almost all of them.
Okay.
But for the most part, I would think it would be, like, honestly, some of the guys that are the lesser names, but are the greater characters. When you do a book like this, you know, there's a mix between you need to have some big names in there, right? The Roberto Luongos and the Sidney Crosbys. First of all, frankly, help sell the book, but people want to read about names like that. And maybe the stories that Sid tells, they're not used to hearing Sid talk about, which I love. But the greatest storytellers in the game are usually guys who are lesser lights, who are fighters or whatever. I'll give you an example, Darcy Hordichuk, another Saskatchewan guy who is one of the great characters and storytellers. There's a story in the book where he was playing for the Panthers and had broken his foot, so he was on the DL. And he was living on one of those inland waterways in Florida, and he used to sit and have beers with his neighbor, and his neighbor had a little shih tzu. And this alligator, as they tend to do on the Florida waterways, was coming up on the bank and sort of every day was hanging around looking at the shih tzu like it was chicken. And so Darcy, as a good Sasky boy would do, decided, well, why don't we capture the alligator and get rid of it? And so Darcy, with his walking boot on, I'm giving away too much of the story, but there's still elements I won't, but jumps on the back of this alligator. They duct tape its mouth, toss it in the back of his car, and their plan is to drive it to the Everglades to release it, right? They don't want to hurt the alligator, but they want to drive it and set it free in the wilderness so it won't eat the shih tzu. But on the way to the Everglades, Darcy says, hey, why don't we stop by Luongo's place? And they stop by and they put the alligator on Luongo's front porch and ring the doorbell. And I have a photo. It didn't actually make the book. There's a photo of Darcy on top of the alligator, but I do have a photo of Luongo in his underwear coming to the front door and seeing this alligator on the front porch. And so the long wind, that's a long-winded way of me saying I would have multiple beers with Darcy.
That is James Duthie. Well, we talked to James for a little bit today. We'll have more with James a little bit later on in the show. Certified Beauties.
You can find
it now. And there are some.
I'm getting that book.
The first one is cover to cover. Like I said, the Layla Anderson tugs at the heartstrings. You have Paul Bissonnette almost getting his team kicked out of the hotel on the road in the National Hockey League. You have Roberto Luongo's diarrhea story from the playoffs. That's the first one. This one has more beauty.
There's a poop story in this one, too, at the end.
Right. And it was interesting to hear him say, after the first one, people called me and was like, you got to talk to this guy about this story.
Yeah.
You got to talk. I have a story. You should put this in the next book. So,
oh, he'll do another one.
I imagine.
This is the second of 12.
and maybe multiple sports. Coming up next on this day in sports history, one of the most remarkable finishes in Monday Night Football lore.
He did what?
We'll remember it next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
On this day in sports history, it was 25 years ago tonight, November the 6th. It was Monday Night Football and had one of the most unbelievable finishes ever. The Green Bay Packers, Lambeau Field, Brett Favre back to pass.
Lays it up for Freeman, and it's incomplete. Did he make the catch at the 15?
Yes.
What are they going to rule? That he caught it? Touchdown! He did what? Well, the Packers are going wild. The crowd's going wild. I mentioned there's nothing to challenge, but they'll have to look at it upstairs. Hand tack. Well, he's laughing. But let's see what it shows on the replay.
It never hit the ground.
No, it didn't hit the ground. Antonio Freeman has the ball tipped, bounces off his back. He turns, grabs it with his hand as it's about to hit the turf. Nobody touched him. He just jumps up and runs into the end zone for the game-winning touchdown, overtime, Monday Night Football. Oh, back when Al Michaels cared.
He did what?
Oh, yeah. What a call for Antonio Freeman. 25 years ago tonight, it was Monday Night Football.
Al doesn't get a lot of vegetables in his diet.
Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Well, the Toronto Blue Jays have done their side of the business. They've extended a qualifying offer to star infielder Bo Bichette. Of course, he probably won't accept the offer. He has until November 18th to accept it. You do the extension to the player, so you get a draft pick as compensation if he signs with a different team.
And he could even sign a deal with the Jays.
Absolutely. They could renegotiate.
Yeah. This however, it's just a technicality.
Absolutely. So that is the latest when it comes to the Blue Jays offseason, which is going to start to get real hectic real fast. Meanwhile, the Montreal Canadiens set to visit the New Jersey Devils tonight. Both teams enter tonight's action with 7 wins in their past 10 games. Ottawa takes on Boston. And for one of the final times, potentially, in their careers, it's the Capitals against the Penguins. Ovi versus Crosby. They do have 2 games back-to-back right at the end of the year, but who knows if they're
that's
in the lineups or healthy or whatever.
With the NHL schedule, right?
There you go. Ovechkin v. Crosby tonight, the Penguins and the Capitals. Coming up next, what happened in Toronto that had Ryan Dinwiddie running into the arms of the Ottawa Red Blacks? And, of course, a preview of the West and East final with our CFL insider Dave Naylor next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.